Let us pray. How good and how gracious our Father is together again tonight. How good and how gracious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that flowed and was poured upon Aaron's head and flowed down into his beard and into his garments. We thank thee for the peace and the quietness that thou dost give us in Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for the mercies that are bestowed upon us every day. Thy mercies that are new every morning, for great is thy faithfulness unto us. And our one desire tonight is to be like thee, to be pure as thou art, to have thy mind, to walk as thou would have us to walk, to be filled with all the fullness of God and strengthened with might by thy Spirit in the inner man. We bow before thee because this is what thou art going to do in our lives now, and this is what we shall experience when you will glorify us forever with the Lord Jesus. For you have promised that those whom you foreknew, you predestinated to be conformed to the image of thy Son, and those you predestinated you called, and them you called you also justified, and them you justified you also glorified. And we thank you for the hope, Lord, that thou hast given us of glorification when we shall be like you forever and forever. The struggle will be finished. Sin will be no more. We will be made in thy likeness forever. What a hope. May we walk in the brightness of that hope. May we walk in the joy of that hope, no matter what our condition is down here upon earth. For it will change. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, to be caught up with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with him. And we thank you for this blessed, blessed hope that thou hast given us. We thank you for the word you gave us this morning, for the heart searching, for the dealing with our hearts. And we thank you for the words you've given us tonight, as it seemingly just dovetails into our message this morning. We do pray for the Spirit to fill us. We do pray for an anointing from above. We pray for a pure heart and clean hands, and ask that thou wilt meet with us from above the mercy seat. And we thank you that thou art here to lead us and guide us by thy Spirit, and to teach us and to draw us unto thyself. Help us. Thou knowest our many problems. Thou knowest the things that we're dealing with even now. Thou knowest, Heavenly Father, what wisdom we need, and we cast ourselves upon thee for that wisdom in this ministry. And all of it, we just trust that thy will may be done. Be with the sick, have mercy upon them. Strengthen them, O Lord, and provide, we do pray, for their every need. Be with those who are out of town tonight, watch over them and keep them. And our Father, we look to thee to have mercy upon us, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's go again tonight to Ephesians chapter 3. And let us read verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I would that all that was here this morning could be here tonight, because I believe that the message tonight, even though we're studying prayer, again dovetails into the word that we had this morning from Romans chapters 7 and 8. And I believe you'll pick it up as we begin to go through it. And you pray that God will give us an understanding of His Word tonight as we try to expound it and as we try to bring out the truths that are here. For it is only as we understand the truths that are here, that are being prayed for, and that we should pray for, that we are able to fight the battles of life, and especially what we were talking about this morning, understanding the struggles of the new man against the old man. They're found in Romans chapter 7. You understand from our last two messages that the Apostle Paul had laid down doctrine, the doctrinal truths, so many of them, we went over them with you again last week, showing the many doctrines and truths that are taught in the Word of God. And when he come to the end of them, he said he had but one thought upon his mind, and that was to bow down before God. He was caused to do this. For this cause, because of all these great truths that I have brought to you. And I so want you to understand them and apply them in your life, he says, that I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am praying that God will do these things for you. These great truths will be brought home to your heart. I want and desire that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And God is rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in power. He's rich in love. He's rich in all of his glorious attributes toward us. And he says, I want God to grant you out of the storehouse of his riches these things that we are going to pray for. And first of all, he says, I think that you need more than anything else is to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. You may be able to put these things into practice, and that you may walk the Christian life. And of course, he goes on to enumerate them. I know that we've spent one message on this before, but I want to go back into it one more time tonight and see how it dovetails into our message this morning. Now, there's one thing we must never forget, that faith is essential in the Christian life. The just shall live by faith. God does not give us the privilege of walking by sight. He gives us the privilege of walking by faith. Glorification will come, and then we shall be able to walk by sight, for we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him, and we shall praise God for that. But faith is essential in the Christian life. And especially after we saw what we battle coming through the Lord, and what we battle after God saves us, as we saw this morning, and to know and to understand that the war goes on and the warfare is fought. How are we going to do this? And this is where faith is essential. As we trusted Christ by faith, as we began by faith, as we were saved by faith, then we must go on by faith, trusting the indwelling Holy Spirit to work in us that which is well-pleasing, and we might be acceptable unto God. We must go on by faith, believing that the Holy Spirit will cause us to walk in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. We must understand by faith also that this was the reason the Holy Spirit was given, not only to regenerate us, but to fill us and to strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And because of this, if you will make a study of it and take your concordance and look it up, it is amazing to me how many phrases or how many expressions are used to describe the function of the Holy Spirit in the heart and life of the people of God. It's a precious study. You ought to look it up and have those scriptures on hand. And I just want to give them to you and then let you look them up. And I can give you scripture references. It'll be fine if you want to take them down. Just want to run through with them. I don't want to comment on them. But to let you know that these things are for us, and that faith must be in operation, that the Spirit has been given to us. And that's the reason Paul was praying that we would be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, in our soul, into the very inward parts of our life. First of all, in Romans 8:2, the Spirit is called the Spirit of life. There is no life apart from the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 1:4, or the Romans 1:4 at least, I'm sorry, Romans 1:4, he is called the Spirit of holiness. And we're to look to him that we might be holy. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, in verse 17, John 14:17, he is called the Spirit of truth. Someone spoke to me after service this morning and poured out their hearts, and they said, "What can I do?" I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will not lead you into error." John 7:17, "He that wills to do the will of God shall know whether the doctrine we preach is of ourselves or whether it is of the Lord." And brethren, I do not mind for you to search the word that we preach by the word of God, for if it is of the Holy Spirit, then he is the Spirit of truth, and he will take that truth home to our hearts. And I told this individual that they had that gracious promise in John 7:17, "He that wills to do the will of God shall know." Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Now, he is also spoken of in Ephesians 1:13 as the Spirit of promise. And he is the one that takes the promises of God, because all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And he takes those promises of Christ and applies them to our hearts. And then there are four mentioned in Isaiah 11 and 2. He is called the Spirit of counsel. He will give us counsel. He is called the Spirit of knowledge, and knowledge comes from him. He is called the Spirit of understanding. It is only by the indwelling Holy Spirit that we can understand the things of the Lord. And there in Isaiah 11, 2, he's called also the Spirit of wisdom. Do we lack wisdom? All week long I've been crying for wisdom. Well, he's the Spirit of wisdom, and he will give us that wisdom that is needed. Then in Hebrews 10:29, he is called the Spirit of grace. He will give us that grace that is needed for every need. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, he is spoken of as the Spirit of revelation. He will reveal God in Christ unto our hearts. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, he is called the Spirit of resurrection. He shall raise us from the dead. And again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he is called the Spirit of sanctification. He's the one that sanctifies us. And that's also found in 1 Peter 1:2, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, and 1 Peter 1:2. Then I have two references for the other. The next one, he is called the Spirit of prayer. Romans 8:26, he prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in Ephesians 6:18, he is called the Spirit of prayer. And then not last but not least, he is, of course, the Spirit of regeneration. He is the Spirit, and by the Spirit, John 3:5, we are regenerated. Titus 3:5 also brings out that great truth. So you see then the function of the Holy Spirit, and this is the reason that the Apostle Paul is praying that we will be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. We will understand the Spirit's workings in his totality, in the totality of his operations, as the Spirit of life, of holiness, as of truth, of promise, of counsel, of knowledge, of understanding, of wisdom, of grace, of revelation, resurrection, sanctification, prayer, regeneration. The Lord would have us to understand by faith that to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man is to understand the totality of the instrumentality of the Spirit of God in working in our lives. Now, beloved, this really says something to my heart. You know that? It says that God does not desire us to live beggarly lives. He has all of this glory, the riches of His glory, and the Holy Spirit in His totality is going to work in our hearts by faith. And we're going to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man in all of these areas of our life. And we can call upon Him, then we should exercise that faith. For we need Him to lead us and to guide us. All right, the question is asked then, what is your need? If the Holy Spirit in its totality is going to work in us, and Paul is praying, and we should pray this prayer for ourselves and for others, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, then what is our need? We're not going to pray this prayer without a need. But what is our need? Is it the need of holiness? The purity of God working in us by His Spirit? I will not find this holiness by looking to myself. I will find it only in the Holy Spirit. And where He is allowed to work, where He is allowed and called in by faith to work in us that holiness or sanctification, then He is that Spirit of holiness, and He will strengthen us in that area. What is my need tonight? What is your need? Is there that need that we feel that we need a greater and deeper love for God and for the things of the Lord? Have you ever cried for that? That I would have that deeper love for God. More of a homage for God. A more bowing down before Him. A more of appreciation for all He is and for all that He's done. It is a love that I cannot work up. But it is certainly, according to Romans 5:5, a work of the Spirit in me. For it is the Holy Spirit who worketh love in me. Isn't it? Sure it is. And so faith is in operation again. Is it love to God? Then I desire to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Perhaps tonight it is a need for love for others. You just need a love for others. You need love for and a compassion for those around you that you meet, those that you come in contact with, those that rub you the wrong way, those that don't think as you think. And you need a love for them. Well, you can only find it as God sheds abroad that love in our heart by the Holy Spirit, as I said, Romans 5:5. That's to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I ask another question. What is your need tonight? Is it the need for power over sin? He is the Spirit of power. For you have not received the Spirit. Can I quote it? Let me read it to you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right, do we need then power over sin? He is that spirit of power that works in us, for we have received the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why did he leave in the Word of God, Romans 6:14? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And just because I spoke this morning upon that battle and the fightings within and without with sin and Satan and the world and the flesh, and there it is, and we can't get away from it. This doesn't mean that God's not going to give us victory. This doesn't mean that we're to hold our head and God will not strengthen us, that we might be able to fight the good fight of faith, that we might be able to overcome and live victorious and to walk in that way. This doesn't mean that we walk in a way that is strange, because God does not give us this grace, this power that to release us from the fight of faith. No way does God strengthen us with might by His Spirit in the inner man to release us from the fight of faith. Then we get out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, and we no longer have any trouble with the flesh or with sin or with the world or with the devil. But He strengthens us with might by His Spirit in the inner man that we might be able to fight the good fight of faith. That He might furnish us and fit us for the battles of life. For He knows they're going to come. He knows temptations are going to come. He knows that trials are going to come, because He is going to send them. He's going to make sure that we are tested and tried in the fire. He's going to make sure that the fiery trials come upon us. We're not left out of the furnace very long. We go from one to the other. But He strengthens us with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Not that we might go to heaven without the fierce battle. Not that we might go to heaven on a cloud of ease. But that we might go to heaven in the fiercest conflict, and there overcoming daily in the strength of the Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, walking in His way continuously day by day. Do you understand what He's saying here? And this is a special prayer. And faith should be in operation here, that we might overcome daily. What is your desire tonight? What is your need? Is it a need that Christ might be more real to your heart? Well, then read on down further. He said in the next verse, and we looked at that briefly last week, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Do you want Him to be more real? Then the Holy Spirit, then, in all of His totality of His ministry, will come and He will give us what is needful day by day. What is your need tonight? Is it a need of counsel, of knowledge, of understanding and wisdom, as found in Isaiah 11 and 2? Well, He is the Spirit of counsel. He is the Spirit of knowledge. He is the Spirit of understanding. He is the Spirit of wisdom. Let us yield ourselves unto Him by faith, that He might work in us according to His will. What is your need tonight? Is it the need of a prayer life like your Lord? I wonder if it would be anybody tonight that would hold up your hand and say, I am very well satisfied with my prayer life. I wonder if there'd be anybody in the house tonight that could raise up your hand and tell me that you are very well satisfied with your prayer life. Well, I see no hands going up, not even mine. Well, then there's a need, isn't it? That we might pray. We might seek the face of the Lord. and we might call upon His name. Well, then He wants us by faith to understand that it is the Holy Spirit that prays in us. And we are to ask that we might receive. We're to be like the importunate widow who came and would not let that judge go until he avenged her of her adversary. Now, if you've never read After Alexandria White, you've got one of the greatest treats in all the world. I have been reading his Bible characters off and on all my life, all my Christian life, long before then. And I picked the book up today before dinner and was reading. My sister smiles because she loves to read his one on that holy thing. I know what she's thinking. But I was in another book of his. I read his dissertation on the importunate widow. And I'm telling you, he just made that one come alive. Well, he had a way about him with words anyway. God really blessed that man and blessed the ministry in Scotland that he had in the last century. But he dealt a lot with Bible characters. And he dealt a lot with the parables of our Lord. And I was reading him on the importunate widow this afternoon for dinner. And in it he was talking about how that widow would not let that judge go. She just would not take no for an answer. And how she met him every way he turned, there she was, to be avenged of her adversary. And he said, he went on to apply it, and he says, every elect soul, every elect child of God has the same identical privilege that this importunate winner had. And we have a Father that we do not have to overcome His reluctancy to give, but we have one who will give out of the fullness of His treasures of glory. If we will only spell out to Him what we need. And if we will come to Him continuously and lay our hearts bare before Him and ask to be avenged of the one thing that is our adversary, and that is sin. And it was amazing to me after preaching this morning as I did, and I picked up that book, and when that man began to apply that thing, he said that our adversary was sin, and that's what we cry to God all the time about. Don't you? Just about it. Sin. And is this our need for a prayer life like our Lord, that we might be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man? Now, I just want to read you some scriptures at random from the Word that shows that God will do this. And then zero in on Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And look at what he says there. Nehemiah cried, O God, strengthen my hands. You know, he was in a battle. The enemy was coming against him and they were building the wall. And they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And they were trying to build that wall and to fight the enemy at the same time. And in Nehemiah 6:9, he cried, Oh God, strengthen my hands. And that's what we need to cry. Lord, strengthen my hands in the battle. Because the weak hands and the feeble knees are hanging down as far as I'm concerned. And I need to be strengthened in the battle. I need to be working and I need to be fighting. So, O God, strengthen my hands. And then the psalmist cried in Psalms 20, verses 1 and 2, that the Lord would send help from the sanctuary, from His throne of grace, and He would strengthen us out of Zion. And then the psalmist cried in Psalms 27:14, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we have these scriptures to encourage us. Like Psalm 31:24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord then. Be of good courage. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. And then here was the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 68:28. And watch what he cried. He said, Lord, command thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. That which thou hast wrought for us, Lord, seems to be weak and going under. Strengthen that which you have ordained or wrought for us. Strengthen it in us. Strengthen us that we might go on in the battle for the Lord. And we would go under. We are told every day that we're going to fail. If Satan doesn't tell us, he gets one of his emissaries to tell us. I don't know how many times in my lifetime that men have looked me straight in the eye and told me, I know that God is going to let you go under because you've done so and 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 so. I had one man come to my place one time and he sat down and he looked me straight in the eye and he said, do you know who Phinehas was? I said, yes, he was the grandson of Aaron. He was a priest. He said, well, do you know what happened to Phinehas? I said, yes. I said, when the children of Israel, the men of Israel, went among the daughters of Moab, and one of the princes of Israel brought one of the women of Moab back into the camp, right in the midst of all the camp, to commit fornication with her, Phinehas got a spear and went and speared and drove it right through both of them. He said, well, I'm Phinehas, and I've come to tell you that Ichabod is written across the door of your ministry, and you're going under, and God is going to destroy you because of thus and thus and thus and thus. I looked him straight in the eye and I said, you know, that's strange. God never told me that. God never told me that. And this was 15 years ago. And yes, one day, man will be able to jump up and say, I told you you were going to go under. Yep, they're going to put me 6 foot under the earth. God should go off and leave us, brethren and sisters. But he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Strengthen, O Lord, that which thou hast wrought for us. God put us in this ministry. God brought us here. God has done this. I had to examine yesterday my heart before God as to what my motives are and why I'm here. What are my motives? I've had to bring that before the Lord, but this came to my heart. The Lord hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. And God said he would strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now there's many more I could give to you, but let's go to Colossians 1. And let's look there at that one just for a moment before we wind this message up tonight. Look at what he says in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I never will forget when I studied that one time and read verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For what reason? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I said, you know, the Pentecostals and the Charismatics, they pray that God will strengthen them with that glorious power that they might work miracles, they might do this, they might do that, they might do something else. And God doesn't condescend to all of that. What we need His glorious power for is for patience and long suffering in the battle that we have to fight day by day to get to glory. And isn't it amazing? He gives us all this power, this glorious power, strengthening with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He comes to work in us. For what reason? This reason that we might have patience and long suffering in the things that He has called us to do. To be strengthened with all might tells us that we are to be mightily strengthened. And God will give us a supply of grace more than sufficient for the end in view. What is it we need? What do we need patience and long suffering for? Well, God says that He will give us that supply of grace mightily, glorious power mightily, that we might be able to have sufficiency in all things. It means spiritual energy proportioned to whatever is needed, so that the child of God may do all that God wants him to do in a manner pleasing and honoring to Him. How are we going to hold up? How are we going to go on? I've told you about all the victories we've had in this ministry. I mean, I and God has never let us down. But I don't believe have ever been tested and tried financially in this ministry like we have in the last 6 months. Never. And it's been a sore trial with me, for I bear the burden of it. But God said He would strengthen, and He would give us that spiritual energy proportioned to whatever is needed, so that I, as a child of God, may do those things that He wants me to do in a manner pleasing and honoring to Him. Some of you have been through sore trials and testings. Well, He said He will strengthen you with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. The special use to which this strength was to be put is unto all patience. That is, sufficient for enduring of all trials. Now, if you don't have any trials, then you don't need this. You don't even need to come here. But I have trials, and I have battles, and I have sins, and I have failures, and I have shortcomings, and I have many attacks. I have many a battle with the devil. If he doesn't come, he sends half a dozen emissaries against me. And you get them coming from all quarters and see how you go. But this mighty power, He will give us strength unto all patience. That is, sufficient for the enduring of all the trials that comes upon us. And He uses the word long-suffering along with patience, because the word long-suffering means exactly what it says. Listen to it. Will you listen to it? Long suffering. That's exactly what the word means. And how many times we need that length of long suffering and the trials and temptations that come upon us and the burdens we have to bear. And we wonder sometimes if there's any end to the thing that God has put into our life. And we cry, and we cry, and we cry, and we're in it. We know God brought us there, and we cannot get out of it, and there seems to be no end to it. And yet He prays that we'll be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. That long suffering there lets us know that if we, when the thing is long and drawn out, and the greater the length of the trial, the greater the length of the long suffering. Now, just look, just for a moment, look back in your life. Just for a minute. If all the trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrows and testings and sufferings and buffetings that you have had would have come at one time, what would have happened? Would you be here tonight? He has spread them out, hasn't he? We go from one to another. Sometimes one lasts longer than the other. And sometimes it seems like we'll never get to the end of the trial that we're in right now. But he said that he would strengthen us with his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. But there's one more word there. Did you see it? Did you see it? What's the next word there in the scripture? Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with what? With complaining? With murmuring? With repining? Is that what it said? No, he's given us his glorious power to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that as we fight the battles of life and the trials come and the trials go, we might be unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And I'm going to have to tell you, I failed right there. I failed. Utterly and completely failed. That's the reason I need to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that I may understand that as this patient and long suffering is given, this glorious power will also, by the Spirit of God, give us joyfulness to undertake it as unto the Lord. So then we see then that help is available. That's what I rejoice in this tonight, that help is available. He has not given us to fight the battles alone. He has not left the old nature there, the fleshly man there, to trouble us everywhere we turn without giving us strength in the inner man that we might be able to stand up against him and to bear him until God puts him finally to death in glorification, when we shall be like our Lord forever and forever. This glorious power, this glorious strength enables us to persevere in the pathway of duty in spite of all the opposition that comes against us, to bear up as God's dear children under trials and to rejoice in tribulation. He does not want us sinking down in despair as if there is no hope and God's gone off and left us. For then we will make a shipwreck of faith. And many a man has turned back right there and made a shipwreck of faith. And we should be aware of this. Help is on the way. There is help. Needed help. God will give that help. Now, this doesn't come to us automatically. He's included in all of this our praying, our crying, our yielding, our hoping, our trusting. All of this is included. Now, we don't sit down under the fig tree and the fig drops out of the tree right into our mouth. It doesn't work like that. The whole man is involved in this thing. And so the whole man's crying unto God to be strengthened with might for the Spirit and the inner man. And this is where prayer comes in, because then there is that yieldingness. And then there is that heart searching. There is that laying bare the heart, crying unto God, Lord, what is the matter? Why? What have I done? Wherein have I sinned? Search my heart. Try my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me, O Lord. And then we come back and rest at his feet. So you see, it all dovetails in together. We must remember that faith must be operative, because the Spirit is operative in all the sphere of his operations. And so we must trust him to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, will we do this? Let's take this and look at it, will you? And meditate upon it and cry over it and tell God it's there. Ask him to work it in our hearts and lives. And in the midst of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of our sufferings, that we will honor and glorify the Lord with all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness, looking unto him. Brethren, there is no way that you could ever exhaust the Word of God. It just touches on everything of life, doesn't it? When you put it together and you rightly divide it and it all fits in together, there is no way that a man could ever exhaust the Word of God. And how a man says that he cannot find something in the Word of God to preach? It's all there. It's the crying unto God to put it together for you in the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And I just praise God for it. The Word is there. Let's search it and find out. He that's willing to do the will of God shall know. Brother Edward, would you lead us in closing prayer?